Hallelujah. On last week, I was talking about grace to finish strong. And I went through a number of points. I skipped a couple of points that I want to go back to one of them specifically in our time today, because it's clear to me as I'm spending time talking with various people, not just in Ayers in our church, but looking in the body of Christ, how many would be willing to say these are seems to be some of the most challenging times that we've ever seen? Yeah, how many of you would say, in my life, it seems to be one of the most challenging seasons that I've been in, just with different things going on? And last week, I started out with the scripture out of Matthew 11, and I want to move through this just about the next 30 minutes. So if you'll just really focus in, I want to end out just with a time of prayer as well. But in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, I'm reading it from the Message Bible. It says this: "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Now, from the King James Version, this is the same passage that says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, laboring heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's where this passage comes from. But reading it from the Message Bible puts it in, for me, a context that's more applicable to where we're at today. One of the things that I shared as well that I want to share again is this phrase concerning the grace of God. The grace of God is an instantaneous enablement by God in the power of the Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond one's natural ability in order to fulfill, listen now, a specific purpose of God in the time frame in which God permits it. If you can find that and put that on the screen for me, that would be great. Let me read it again. Grace of God, an instantaneous enablement by God in the power of the Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond one's natural ability in order to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time frame in which God permits it. I like to say it like this. When God created you, all the grace that you would need to fulfill what he's purposed to do in your life is there. It's there and it's available. And that grace is meted out based on seasons of your life and what you're doing in seasons of your life. One of the examples that I used last week is I really do believe that there's a grace for parenting. I believe there's a grace for children. I believe that those of us who have had children and now have grandchildren, that grace kind of transfers to the grandkids. I kind of jokingly said there's various kinds of grace within that, and I talked about potty training grace, where, you know, there's a grace to train to potty, but then after a while, that grace is lifted. You need to know what you're doing now. Now, hear me when I say this. Sometimes it feels that way, though, even in the body of Christ, because we're dealing with believers that are growing up. And at some point, you ought to come out with the spiritual Pampers into the training things, and then you don't need those anymore. And one of the challenges, hear me now, one of the challenges that we face, and I want to say this, I have come to recognize that my grace is in the maturing of the believers. Now, as I came into ministry, I walked through the season of evangelism. So I know how to evangelize, and many souls have come to the kingdom through our evangelistic efforts, and mine particularly years ago through Ayers International Ministries, going into prisons and correctional institutions and street meetings and those kind of things. So I know the various facets of the fivefold offices. But in this season, George, it's about the maturing of the believer. So the things that I will bring to you will be things to challenge you in your growth and your maturity in God. I have to also tell you that the grace on my life, the pastor, is a different kind of grace. And in this season for me, it's clearly become more apostolic than it has pastoral. Because I'm looking at a church now that many in the body of Christ are still walking around in their infancy stages. But they've been born again for 10, 20 years. But they're still not walking in places of purpose and destiny and places where that they're able to walk and recognize that life will hand you its best blows. It will hand you its best punches. I said this last week or week before last. I said, I feel like I'm watching many of us kind of navigate through the season of the perfect storm. And I talked about that movie, The Perfect Storm, where these guys were fishermen and they were going out to get this big catch, but there was a storm coming in. They did not heed the warning to come back in because they wanted to get this catch and come back, and they got caught out in what was called a perfect storm, meaning that, and they rarely happen, but when it happens, if you're caught in it, the chances of you getting out of it, except for God, will be most challenging. I liken that to sometimes in our lives and for many where you find yourselves right now. Today, I want to talk to you about grace to withstand hard times. Grace to withstand hard times. You see, there is grace to finish, and there's grace to finish strong. Say grace to finish. Come on, say grace to finish and grace to finish strong. On last week, I showed the clip of Derek Redmond. How many of y'all were here last week and saw that clip of Derek Redmond? If you weren't here last week, do you happen to know who Derek Redmond is? The British runner. Can you find that clip, cue it up for me? It's only about 2 minutes long. I want you to see it again. Because what it shows is a young man who had every right or opportunity to stop in the middle of the race because he was injured, but chose not to do that. And right in the midst of his pain, you see some help come to him to get him to the finish line. What I'm saying to all of us is that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, when he hung on that cross, was help coming for you and I. He settled everything that would ever need to be settled for you and I. And I'm telling you, the moment that you were born again, all the grace that you would need to walk out life in places of victory and success is right available to you even now. No matter what you're going through, I don't care how painful, I won't say I don't care because I do care. No matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult it is, I'm telling you, there's grace for you to get to the other side of it. But I recognize these moments of these perfect storms. And in our world, that perfect storm can be getting hit financially. It can be getting hit physically. It can be getting hit relationally. It can be in your marriage or there's something that's going on between you and your children. And all these things are hitting all at one time. But I'm here to tell you that right in the midst of those kinds of storms and those kind of perfect storms is where the grace of God is at its best. If we can grab a hold of it and understand that this grace is for our success. In this phrase that I give concerning the grace of God, and I share in it where I said it's in order to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time frame in which God permits it. When we look at the early church, you will remember that it was Peter in Acts 9, Acts 10, actually, that God used to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentile. You remember that? He goes to Cornelius' house. But Peter did not have the grace for the Gentiles. So much so, he had to have that dream three times to even deal with his mind around the culture and the customs of that time. He was battling with the traditions, but yielded himself, God used him to minister salvation to the Gentiles. But it was Paul. Can you just hold that a second? It was Paul who God raised up. And then it says in Ephesians 3, when you read that, it says Paul's grace was to reach the Gentiles. Paul said, the grace on my life was to reach the Gentiles. Can I share with you that even in the midst of challenging times, there is specific grace for you, no matter what it is. There is specific grace. And if we can recognize that and draw on that grace, thank God for his grace. Come on, just thank him right now. God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace. God, you have kept me over and over and over. I thank you for your grace. You have kept me over and over and over and over. I thank you for your grace. 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 There are moments in all of our lives and in this journey, this race of life, when things can hit us. Setting up this clip for you, Derek Redmond was picked to win this race. But right before it, he had some physical challenges. And after some surgeries and some therapies, he felt that he was ready to run this race again. He went into the race as a favorite. And this is what happened. Would you play that clip for me, person of Jesus Christ? Wrapped himself up in humanity, settled the debt that you and I would have to pay, and released all the grace that you and I would ever need to fulfill our purpose and destiny. We are in the kingdom, but we're also in a race. And there are many things for you and I to accomplish. But one of the things that I want to encourage you around, and I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you to settle it. That no matter what you are going through, there is grace to get you to the other side of it. There is grace to get you to the other side of it. Many of you under the sound of my voice, you know the hard times that you've been through. I know the hard times I've been through, the hard times that Pastor Maurice and I have been through. But it's been the grace of God over and over. That's why when we sing that song, I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back except to remind myself, God, you have kept me over and over and over again. You see, the thing about Paul is that Paul was outside of the church and sovereignly brought into the church. But Saul was amongst those religious leaders, those Sadducees, the Pharisees, and Philippians. He shares a little bit about himself, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was, if anybody had the credentials, he did. And yet, when he had that Damascus Road experience, meeting Jesus, it shut all that down. And the thing that Jesus spoke to Paul was the things that he would suffer for his sake. And then Paul's journey began. But with that journey came all the grace. There is grace for you no matter what you're dealing with right now, no matter what you're going through right now. And the truth is, everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through something. We dress up well, we look well, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to be able to live in a place that you go through something and you come out on the other side of it without the smell of smoke. Because God's grace does that for you. When Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, I'm talking about Daniel 3 now, when they were faced with that fiery furnace situation, they had every opportunity to bow out, a convenient way out. But they chose to go into it not knowing that there was already, now I know this is Old Testament, but the same grace that operates in our dispensation has operated all along. It just was meted out a different kind of way. And so when they went into that fiery furnace, they had settled in themselves, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die standing up for God. Sometimes you and I, when we're faced with situations, listen, you have to go into it. If it's going to take me out, it's going to take me out praising God. Yes. Hear me. Yes. Some of the things that come to you and I by way of some of the physical, medical diagnosis and different things, while you're battling your way through it, I like to say it like this. Every now and then, you need to pause and praise. You need to pause and praise. Just need to pause and praise. When David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back after it had been in Obed-Edom's house yet, but there was a consensus to move the Ark of the Covenant, but nobody really knew how it was to be moved. It was supposed to be moved on the shoulders of the Levites. That's all. But they chose to try to do it conveniently. Say conveniently. And I want to help you with this. In God, when it comes to the processes of God, the purposes of God, there's no convenient way. You see, the moment you decide To step into purpose and destiny, you step into the processes as well. But what you need to know is that for every part of the process, there is grace to get you to the other side of that process. They were conveniently trying to move the Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart. But as they were moving it, they came across what was a threshing floor, a threshing area, and the ox, thinking they at the threshing, they start doing what they do, and it tipped the ark. And there was one guy that tried to catch it, died instantly. At that moment, David got a revelation. We need to park this and figure this out. They parked it at Obed-Edom's. Now, the whole time he was with Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom's blessed. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Now, I'm talking about pause and praise. I was watching as we were ending out our worship, and I was looking at two of the dancers when they were up here with those flags. And for one moment, I saw it. I said, they were like the cherub at the Ark of the Covenant. I said, my God. Because the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. We simply need to acknowledge him. And so the revelation that David got was, the Levites need to be the ones to move this thing. And as we move it this time, we're going to pause and praise. We're going to go so far, we're going to stop and lift up offering, praise to God. Then we're going to go a little further and do the same. And I want to submit that to you as we're going through this season. And there's grace to withstand the hard times. That you learn to pause and praise. Pause and take a moment and give God praise. Doesn't mean everything is worked out, but you pause to give him praise in the midst of the process. In the midst of the process. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael made the choice. If this is it, this is it. But said to Nebuchadnezzar, you need to know we're not bowing to you. Only to see the miracle of the fourth man in the fire. The likeness of an angel, but likeness of Christ in the midst of their situation. No matter what situation you're in, the Lord is right there with you. I said, the Lord is right there with you. When you pause and praise, then you can get into that place. When you take a moment and just wait and worship. Just wait and worship. That's why I don't have a problem with taking our time in worship, navigating to find that place like we found today, where it's just, you know, I don't know what to do now. That's when you know. See, when you got it all scripted, that ain't necessarily God. Doesn't mean it's not, but doesn't mean it is. But when you can be in that place where you say, man, I don't even know what to do right about now. That's when you can be pretty much sure you're in that place. You're in that dimension of worship where anything is possible. Amen. When Paul accepted his call, he recognized the challenge that would be there. But he made the commitment that no matter what, I will fulfill this thing. And I want to encourage us today. Because right now, I recognize that there's a lot of people being hit in a lot of different ways. And the enemy wants to shut you down. He wants to discourage you. It can be in the area of your finances. It could be in the area of your health. It could be relational. It could be something going on your job. It could be the lack of a job. Whatever it is. And the enemy's trying to discourage you. But there is grace. There is grace. There is grace to withstand the hard times. This is how committed Paul was. In Acts the 20th chapter, now, Paul is ministering in Ephesus, but he recognizes there's an urgency to go to Jerusalem. And Paul is speaking to those and writing them, and this is what he says in Acts the 20th chapter, verse 22, and I'm reading it from the Message Bible again. He says, but there is an urgency before me now. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I am completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. Any of you just like to know what's going on before you get there? That's most of us. That's most of us. I like to know, but I don't necessarily need to know all the time. So it's good to have Pastor Marisa to kind of help balance that out for me. So I don't just get out there and have us just out there. Don't nobody say amen to that. Just you keep thinking about you. Okay? He says, I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. Then he says this, I do know that it won't be a picnic. The Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly. You ever have somebody share some news with you and they get ready to repeat it and say, that's enough, I don't need to hear that again. He says repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times, beatings, and imprisonment ahead. Now, how many of you know that was a great hallelujah moment right there? Glory to God. I thank you for this call. I'm packing right now to go to Jerusalem. But this is what Paul says. But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. You see, when Derek Redmond was hit with whatever happened in his leg, he had a moment to think, clearly they see I'm hurt. But something in him said, but it doesn't matter. I got to get to the finish line. I'm going to get to the finish line. He kept looking to the finish line, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before us, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. You see, the goal is to keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep look. You gotta be able to look through today. You gotta look through tomorrow. You gotta look past the next week you think is there. Some of the stuff you think you're gonna deal with, if you find that place of praise, you find that place of worship, you find that place of exalting God, your experience may be very well like those in 2 Chronicles 20 who just started out the gate. Oh Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Now they had no clue what was happening in their future, but it says the moment they began to sing, God set ambushments. And I'm telling you, there's something about the power of praise and worship that even releases the grace and the hand of God to move in your life, even when you think there's something down the road that you're going to have to contend with, something that you're going to have to deal with. And God says, as long as you keep your eyes on me, as long as you keep your focus on me, I'm going to take care of that. By the time you get there, it's going to be already taken care of. I need about three of y'all to act like that's speaking to you right now. Because I know hard times are hitting, trying to figure out how to get this paid, trying to figure out how I'm going to do this, trying to figure out how I'm going to get this fixed, how I'm going to get this repaired. Seems like you get one thing taken care of and something else happens. I remember those seasons for Pastor Marisa and I when it was just one thing hitting after another, one thing hitting after another. But the one, here's what I realized is I didn't know how to draw on the grace. I didn't know how to... I didn't know how to draw on the word. I didn't know how to frame my words. I didn't know how to work in a place where I'm only going to allow myself to be impacted so much by what's going on. I'm going to remain in a place of faith. I'm going to remain in a place of trust. I'm going to take a moment and just give God praise. I'm going to take a moment and just begin to worship God. I remember there was a season when we lived in Columbus, and I'll never forget it because I was in between jobs, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'll never forget, right in the midst of that, the refrigerator broke down. Now, thank God it was in the winter, because then we could put our food out on the back porch. I know you ain't never had to do that, but just stay with me. So we put the stuff out on the back porch just so it would not spoil. But I'll never forget it because I just said to Marisa, I said I need to shut in. I need to shut in. Now I can imagine, I thank God for a godly wife, but I can imagine she's thinking, shut in, you need to go out and find a job and get this thing fixed. I mean, all those kind of thoughts go through your mind. All those kind of thoughts go through your mind. But I learned. I learned this place of grace. See, one of the things about the place of grace is sometimes it's in that same line of living in the realm of ridiculous faith, because it can make you look strange. It can make you look crazy, because when everybody else thinks you got a good reason to act like you lost your mind right about now, but you're still in your right mind, I'm telling you something. It's because of understanding this grace of God. But I'll never forget, John Paul. I'll never forget. I went up to the attic in our place. And I was there for 3 days, not eating. Asked Maurice, don't let the kids bother me. But it was up there when I turned to 2 Chronicles 20. Oh, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And I went to my keyboard, and I just began to play these chords. And I'm a visionary, and I can see things creatively. And I'm looking at 2 Chronicles 20. And I see him start to march. I see him start to march. Oh, Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, Lord, you are good. That's all I could say.
And your mercy endures.
That's all I could say.
Forever and ever.
And I saw this body of people.
Oh, Lord, you
Jeff, I saw this body of believers. Just straighten up their shoulders and begin to walk in circumspect. And they begin to walk in sync with one another. As the declaration went out, not knowing what was in front of them, but recognizing that their God, who is the God, is going before them. And I begin to feel a strength. I begin to feel encouragement. I begin to feel hope. And something on the inside of me said, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I've got you. I've got your family. Said, what matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know about the incredibly extravagant generosity of God. I've come to recognize that the enemy opposes every promise of God. You must know that the enemy opposes every promise of God. And that is why you must be able to rehearse the Word of God. And you must be able to revisit your history in God. There is grace to withstand the hard times. And I stand here today as a living witness and a living testimony of God's grace having navigated us through one challenge after another to bring us to a place in Him where we know how to draw on the grace. We know how to activate our faith. We know how to exercise our faith. We know how to stand in the midst of opposition. Doesn't mean that things aren't going on. Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean that you want it to be over today. But there is a grace that helps us to be able to withstand the storms of life and get on the other side of it. And you can look back and say, God did that for me. I know that's your testimony this morning. I know that's your testimony this morning. You just need to remind yourself of the goodness of God. You just need to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. You must remind yourself of the promises of God. For the same God